Well, hi everybody, welcome. Today, it will be Tuesday the 19th of March. I want to do this prior to the banging next door. They're remodeling the gentleman's apartment that lives next door. Praise God. Anyway, we're going to take a detour from doing a specific book in the Bible this time. We're going to go to a theme that I believe is important for us, especially for this 2024. We have phrases going around, there's more in 24. Spending more time on the floor in 24, all these things. I want to tell you, though, that there is a phrase I want to talk prior to all of this. Is that God does not necessarily give us promises for the past up to the present, for anything in the past, even a moment ago. He doesn't give us promises for that. He gives us promises that he'll take care of it, but he never gives us promises for those times. You do not need a weapon for your past. It's already taken care of. I'll share a little bit about that in a second. But the promises of God are for where you're going, for your journey. You're going to need a weapon for this. It's almost like you are you're a construction worker and you have a tool belt, but you don't have any tools in it. And God gives you the tools that you need for the moments that you need them. Okay? And so we're going to be going into that. And the promises of God are not for your past. The promises of God are for where you are going. Okay, and that's what you need to know. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. They don't deal with the past. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imagination, and everything that lifts its lofty head against the Lord. And so we have to come to grips with this, with these promises that God is equipping you for the next season of your life. And the Lord has placed it on my heart. And this is how God works in me. And I had this vision a few years ago where I went to heaven, and I don't know if I literally went to heaven or if it happened that I was in a vision, in an open vision in heaven, whatever it was. Anyway, in that, among the other things that happened, I was walking down this path with Jesus. And I saw a scepter against the tree. Now, the scepter was 6 feet tall, about as tall as me, and 4 foot wide at the top, and then went down pointed to the ground. So it was about maybe 4 inches on the ground at the bottom. And then the sphere at the top of the scepter was able to be unscrewed. Now, I understand, and I don't know if it's, I have to double check it, but I understand that in a scepter are little trinkets, figurines, or something from a land that was conquered on behalf of that ruler, on behalf of that king. Well, I opened up my scepter, and, I dumped it out, and there were some, figurines. And I don't know what else to call them. They were like little statues about maybe this big of all the battles that I had won. And some of them I was like, yeah, I remember that. That was really, really cool. I remember overcoming that. That was really cool. But there were some in there where I know that I lost that battle. I didn't, I failed in my going into I just failed in that thing. I failed in this thing. And I asked the Lord about it. And I said, well, what is it about that? I know I failed that battle. He goes, no, you didn't fail in that battle. What happened was you gave, you quit trying, and I took over and I won that battle for you. The Bible says, he told Moses to stand back and see the salvation of the Lord at the Red Sea. And so, God is giving us, he'll take care of the past. He'll take care. Actually, he bought your past on the cross. It doesn't belong to you. So Paul can say, what can separate me from the love of God? And he goes through this list and he says, things present or things to come. And I asked the Lord about that. I said, well, what about the past? And he goes, the past doesn't belong to you. I bought the past. I bought your past. It doesn't belong to you. It's mine. You can't have it anymore. So we're moving on in this journey with the Lord. And I want to tell you today that in this journey, in this next part, this next season, I believe, and I speak this prophetically, but I believe that we are coming into a season where we must seek the Lord. He has to be our primary focus. He has to be what we seek. He has to be the thing that we go after at this time. All right? That means reading the Word of God, meditating in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, getting filled moment by moment with the Holy Spirit, fresh baptisms, if you want, of the Holy Spirit. This is what we're going walking into next in this next season. The deal is, folks, the deal is that the enemy knows his time is short. Now, I've heard these prophecies with the solar eclipse and all the, whatever it is, the lunar eclipse or the solar eclipse that is happening on April the 8th. And I heard that, yes, going through all these cities, etc. But I want to tell you something more important than that. Something more important than the four horsemen of the apocalypse. More important than that is seeking the face of God. That doesn't mean you check out of society. That doesn't mean you check out of life. It means that the society, that what you have to do is stop. Martin Luther used to say, man, I've got so much to do today, I need to spend an extra hour with the Lord. My pastor, he says that if he prays for an hour, 55 minutes is spent in worship and adoration of him. He says, hallowed be your name in the model prayer. Hallowed be your name. Honored, glorified, praised, above all other names. Hallowed be your name. That's what you do. Is spend most of your time blessing him and ministering to him before you ask him anything. Now, I know the character of God, and that if you spend time honoring him, if you spend time honoring him, he can't help himself but get off the throne and minister to you. He says, seek primarily, and we'll get into it, seek first. Let your first objective is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So we're going to get into this thing of seeking the Lord, but not only seeking him, but also gazing upon him. And we'll talk about it, but I want to share this. I was watching a video, I think it was yesterday, of this blind little girl, blind skater. She was doing a partner skating in competition, and she started out. She was touching his face, and it was like she was blind for real, but she was pretending she was blind. That was really weird. But anyway, she was touching his face, getting to know him. And that's what blind people do. When they want to get to know you, that's what they do. They touch your face to get the contour of your face so they know it's you the next time. So anyway, she's skating, and she's doing all this, and beautiful skating. And I was like, wow, watching this thing. But when God wants you to gaze upon him, what he wants you to do is set your focus upon him. Just gaze upon him. so that you know every contour of his face. Now we're going to get into this, and you know, and so I want to do that. But before we start, I just want to let you know you can give into this ministry. Go to TomandSarahAtOutlook.com, and in that you will see that I will give you the links. I will send you the links. TomandSarahAtOutlook.com. I will send you the links for giving. I'll also put them on my Facebook and on my YouTube channel. Subscribe, comment, share, like these videos, and go to my podcast, comment on it, like it, and we'll try to get it out, okay? Anyway, let's get into this thing. I also have two books for sale. I'll mention this quickly. I have two books for sale. One of them is called SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. If you get it from me, it is $20. If a donation of $20 or more, you'll get both of those books from me and sent to you. Or you can get them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com. SOS, A 50-Day Journey into the Heart of God. And From Breakdown to Breakthrough, My Journey to Soul Health. You can get those two books. That's one way to help. I'm sorry if I'm a little distracted right now. I have these birds on this tree outside my window, and it's really cool to watch. Anyway, let's go to Psalm 27, verse 4. And David is talking, all right? And I love David and what he says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And that is his. That is the start of it. But in verse 4, he said, here's the one, I'm reading out of the Passion. Here's the one thing I crave from Yahweh. The one thing I seek above all else. I want to live with him every moment in his house, beholding the marvelous beauty of Yahweh, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to contemplate in his temple. And then in verse 8 he says, I heard your voice in my heart say, come, seek my face. My inner being, my soul responded, Yahweh, I am seeking your face with all my heart. I am seeking your face with all my heart. He's going after it. That's his delight. That's his purpose. The heart's cry of the Lord is that his heart would be your place of refuge. All right, many people have needs. No doubt they have needs. We all have needs. Financial, physical, relational, and you know, and other things. I think that pretty much covers it. We have these needs, and the Lord meets them all. We all have needs. Everybody has needs. God's need is that you would run to his heart as a place of refuge. Come, seek my face. And in the Shema, and the two greatest commandments, you know, what, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. And this is all the law and the prophets. And then so, you come and you love the Lord your God. You seek his face. Well, how can I seek the face of God? No man can look at God and live. That's not true. That may have been true for Moses. It may have been true for the Israelites. But see, God's desire is not that you would make an idol or make an image of him. He said that in the Old Testament. But he wants you to seek his presence. When he talks about seeking his face, he's saying, seek my presence. Seek him. Seek who he is. Run after him. Let him be your sole desire. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he's talking about the Israelites if they fall away. And then in verse 29 of chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, he says, but, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, but he says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search for him with all your heart and with all your soul. In Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So what is that saying? That's saying if you seek him, you'll find him. If you seek him, he will let himself be found of you, it says in another verse. If you seek him, you will find him. In Matthew, I think it's chapter 7. Yeah, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, I know it means keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. I know that. But I want to tell you something. If it says ask and you're not getting and you're not receiving, it means you're asking the wrong question. You need to ask the right question. You know, lawyers in the courtroom, they will never ask you a question they don't know the answer to. They don't never want to be surprised. So they'll never ask you a question that they don't want to, that they don't know the answer to. They will always know the answer. So that's why it's always good that you tell the truth. But if you're asking, the Bible says that ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. Jesus said that. And it will be done for you. In this manner, I will show what the Father is really like. But it has to be contained in his character. You know, the bird that's outside, I'm sorry, I'll share this real quick. When I first moved to Reading back in 2015, May of 2015, May 15th, I moved here. On June 1st, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I had pastored, I had preached, I had led worship, and, you know, and I didn't have to do that here. I mean, really, you're going to try to preach at Bethel? You know, you have Bill Johnson, Chris Valentin, Dan Fairley. You got some great preachers. Am I going to be leading worship? I mean, come on, really? Well, anyway, I asked the Lord, well, what do you want me to do? He said, let's just come and seek me. So on June 1st, I went out in my backyard, and there was a small backyard, but on the fence, I started to pray, and I was playing two songs in a loop. One of them was No Longer Slaves, and the other one was called In Over My Head, both from the album We Will Not Be Shaken. And I just played those two songs in a loop and was meditating on the Lord. And all of a sudden, there were five partridges that were jumping on top of the fence. They just, five of them, stayed there for the entire hour that I was praying. And then when I was finished, they got up and they left. And then they did that day after day after day. Until June 26th, there were four, not five, but there were four. There were four, not five. There were four partridges on this fence. And it kind of took me by surprise for a second. And all of a sudden, Mama screamed out, and the fifth one popped up, and they waited till I finished praying, and then they left. And then on the 30th of June, I remember 30th of June, 2015, I felt this, and it felt physical, but I felt this crust break off of me. And it was a hard crust, and it just broke off of me and started going down. And following it and pushing the crust was honey and oil that was coming down on me, and it pushed it away and it floated away. And that was the last day that I saw the five partridges. Well, there was a partridge outside my window just now, and he wasn't in the pear tree. So anyway, actually that song is a gospel song. The partridge in the pear tree is actually Jesus hanging on. That's kind of cool. Anyway, where was I? But from there you will, so if you're not asking the right question, ask for it. Ask the right question. If you don't know what the question is, ask Jesus to tell you what the question is that you need to ask. And then he said, keep seeking. But don't just seek, But if you're seeking and you're not finding, then you're looking in the wrong place. And I've shared this a number of times, but when I played hide and seek with my kids, I would, this was really cool, but if I was playing hide and seek and they were not in one spot, I would go to another spot to try to find them. If my kids couldn't find me in a spot, then they would look in another place. If you're not finding him where you're looking, then look somewhere else. Go, you know, if he's not under the couch, look in the closet. If he's not in the closet, then look in the kitchen. If he's not in the kitchen, look in the garage. Look for him, search for him, seek him with all your heart. Be diligent to seek him. In Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must know that he is, and he's the rewarder of those, here it is, who diligently seek him. He will reward you. Why? How? By showing up, by being there. He is Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is present. Keep knocking. Well, it doesn't just mean knock on the same door if nobody's home. I used to sell bottled water door to door. I sold vacuum cleaners door to door. The hardest job I ever had was selling vacuum cleaners door to door. The easiest job I ever had was selling bottled water door to door after my first few months. Well, anyway, knock on a door, count to 15. If nobody answered, I went to the next door. Imagine that now. Back then it was like, oh, somebody's here. Now it's like, who's knocking at my door, you know? But anyway, I would knock, and if nobody was home, I would go to the next door. And God blessed me in that every door that I got into, people would open up their lives and I got to minister to them. So seek him. And if you know, go to the next, if he's not there, go to the next door. Look someplace else for him. But you have to seek him with all your heart and all your soul. That's what Deuteronomy says. Every part of your being, seek him. In Proverbs 8:17, he says, I will show my love to those who passionately love me, for they will search and search and continually until they find me. They will search and they will search. They're not going to give up the look. They're not going to give up. It's like if you know that you have buried treasure on a piece of property, you're going to look and you're going to look. The kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field, sold all he had to buy the field. He dug up and there's this treasure and it's Jesus. And you search and you search. There he is. I got him. Praise God. I saw him. You seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Seek after him. Let him be your sole desire. Let him be the one that you continually go after. Let him be the purpose of your life. I'm debating if I should share this or not. Well, why not? Back when I was in high school, college, I wanted to get married. And I remember back in Jersey that every girl, every pretty girl that walked by, is she the one? Is she the one? Is she the one? Now, I was really in love with this one gal. And and shortly after I had met her, I moved to Washington State. But, you know, I was wondering, man, is she the one? Is she the one? And I kept searching, I kept searching, I kept searching. Is it, you know, and now it's not so much. That's not the main. But I remember searching for, with everything that was in me, I was looking to see if this gal was going, whoever it was going to be my wife. Until I found one. And then 34 years later, you know, we were divorced. But there's a whole circumstance behind that. But The thing is, I searched and I searched. I remember when I was looking for a softball. I used to be really, really super athletic. I still kind of am, but not as much. And I remember searching for teams that needed a player. And if they didn't need me, I just moved on to the next team. And I remember finally that that a team got me, and I never let them down. You know. Anyway, we're going to stop there. I think you know, we'll pick this theme up tomorrow. There's so much about seeking the Lord, and you have to calendar time to do it. You can't just, oh, I'll do it later. You know, I don't know, if I have nothing to do, I will do it. No. You need to do it. And you need to get away. And you need to be with him. Seek his face. His face is the only face worth seeking. Well, we'll pick this theme up tomorrow. I just want to let you know that you can support this ministry. I'm going to be going to Bible school next year, the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. I need $54 to $160 to go to the school, and I don't want to take loans out or anything like that. I kind of believe that folks want to invest in this, and if you'd be willing to go ahead and TomandSarah@Outlook.com, I'll send you the link, and then I'm going to be asking some people specifically to donate something. I figured if I can get 100 people. To give me $50. That's $5,000 right there. If I can get 1,000 people to give me $5, that's almost it right there. I'm just asking, you know, for help. I rarely, unless there's a major need, I very rarely ask for this kind of thing. They do not have grants in this school yet. But my purpose for going is to recalibrate. I posted a thing on Facebook, a video today on Facebook, Bobby Connor talking about recalibrating. I didn't even hear that message. But that's one of the things the Lord wants me to do, is to recalibrate, is to realign, get my focus back to him. Everything else gets pushed aside. I just want to be with him. And I believe that there is refreshing on the other side. I believe there is wholeness, restoration. There is recalibrating going on. And that's the purpose for me. That's one of the purposes for me going. I remember the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to go. So I applied, I got accepted. So if you want to give, and I have an immediate need of $500 to for the processing of all this stuff. It's kind of like to lock my place into the school. It's here at Bethel, and I believe that you know, the next 40 years of my life are going to be I'm going to drive a stake in the ground for the next 40 years of my life. So. Anyway, God bless you guys. Thank you for joining me today. You know, contact me if you have any questions about anything. TomandSarah@Outlook.com. You can DM me here on Facebook if we're friends. You can write a comment, whatever. Like, comment, and share this video. Like, comment, and share my YouTube channel, Tom and Sarah. Or subscribe, and subscribe to my podcast on Spotify. I'll just share this really quickly. Spotify had told me I was in violation of community guidelines when I was talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And I said, dude, it just came from the Bible. And then they reinstated it. So anyway, my hat's off to them for looking at that. But anyway, yeah. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great day. Enjoy this beautiful sunny day here in Reading. And we'll talk to you next time. God bless you.